The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Michael McLaughlin from Youth Work Ireland, you have commissioned a report which has found that young people don't turn to their parents or teachers for information about positive and healthy sexual relationships. Instead, where do they turn?
Well, surprisingly enough, it's mainly the internet, but certainly their friends also, which I think, you know, can be pluses and minuses. But you're right, the traditional routes that we assume, parents and teachers, don't feature very highly in the survey. That is true.
Internet, social media, but also pornography. To what extent pornography?
Well, 20% is the headline figure. I mean, you might suspect there's some underreporting there, and maybe not surprisingly, certainly a lot more common amongst boys than girls. So I think that would certainly be something of concern to people in our field.
But are they describing it as sexual education or information?
Well, that was the context of the survey, so we've got to assume that to some degree that is the case. I think maybe it illustrates something that we're hearing a bit, is that people tend to function, even schools and such like, function more in this kind of sex and mechanical definition rather than talking about relationships and a broader, you know, putting this in its proper location to how people think about relationships and sexuality rather than just, you know, the actual sexual act as such, which is tends to dominate still, we hear in the school curriculum.
And the age group of those you surveyed for this report, there were over 1,000 people answer questions. What sort of ages?
It's 14 to 21, yeah, that is the age group. So I suppose a whole gamut of people who'd still be relatively early maybe in their development to people who are effectively young adults and who are out there in, you know, working and in education and such like, yes.
Okay, well, we have a 17-year-old student with us as well, Deborah Fakea. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Does it come as a surprise to you to hear that there are 1 in 5 maybe turning to pornography as a form of sexual education?
No, I don't think it surprises me at all. And that's for a number of reasons, but mainly being the fact that we are the social media generation, and we've been told that since we could walk and talk, basically. I can't remember a time where I couldn't turn to the internet or turn to Google. And when there is holes in sexual education, whether the holes are coming from your parents, your teachers, just a lack of information, I think it makes sense to me that young people are going to turn to whatever resources they can find. And obviously the studies have shown, and the survey showed, that 1 in 5 people are turning to pornography.
And how well informed do you think they are then as a result about the whole nature of relationships rather than just the mechanics of sexual behaviour?
Well, I mean, I think there's, when you talk about relationships, there's so many things feeding into that that are completely separate from pornography, I think. And I think there's influences from pop culture, influences from their friends, their family, like what are they seeing that portrays a healthy relationship? And I think the lines are very blurred there, because what you might be seeing might not be what is best or what's most accurate of what a healthy relationship should look like.
We have Ro McDermott with us as well. Of course, you will know from her contributions as a movie critic here on The Last Word, but she also has an MA in Sexuality Studies from San Francisco State University, writes on these issues for the Irish Times as well. Ro, what do you make of this particular survey and its findings?
I think what's particularly interesting about the survey is that this subject was actually suggested by the young people themselves. Isn't that right, Michael? So these young people want to talk about these issues, and they want to highlight that they know there are gaps in their education. And I think what's so prevalent here is that by turning to the internet and by turning to pornography, young people are expressing curiosity about sexuality, which is completely natural, but they're also expressing a gap in the knowledge that they are receiving. And they're expressing an inability to have these open conversations with people who might be able to have those conversations.
What is the gap?
So I think not being able to turn to your parents or your teachers and feel comfortable asking questions about sexuality. And I think that comes from, because we still view sexuality as, we can't talk to kids about this because it's ruining their innocence, which itself is viewing sex as something wrong and dirty and something that ruins people, which we need to get over. And it means that if we're not having conversations about sex at an age-appropriate level with children, from when they start asking questions, it means that when they're a little bit older, when they're in their early teens or older teens, it means that when they have very serious questions about consent, about relationships, about, you know, sexuality generally, they're not going to suddenly feel comfortable talking to their parents. So I think it's really on parents and educators and adults to start those conversations early, to show children that they are allowed to ask questions. This isn't a shameful topic, and to teach them preemptively. Sex education needs to be proactive rather than reactive. We can't wait for kids to be misinformed and then correct them. That is dangerous.
Have there been any studies done to see what the impact on developing and maturing minds of exposure to pornography actually is? How it impacts on boys and girls as to what they expect out of sex and how they relate it into relationships.
Yeah, so I think one of the most kind of infamous now statistics is that there was an attempt to analyse how many young men watch pornography, and they literally couldn't get a control group in the States. They couldn't find a group of young men under the age of 18 who had not seen pornography. But I think the studies, I mean, there are immense kind of, it depends on the focus of the studies, but a lot of things are saying that people who watch pornography, they're seeing degrading forms of sexuality. They're seeing, in terms of pornography, particularly between men and women, they're seeing pornography that isn't focused on female pleasure. It's completely focused on male pleasure. It can often be degrading, it can often be slightly violent. And so it's not only teaching kids that maybe consent is an important relationship, pleasure is an important relationship, but it's also normalizing very extreme things. And if we accept, which I think over the past few weeks we have to, that people aren't comfortable talking about consent generally, then if you have children growing up and thinking that very extreme sexual activities are normal, then you're leading into the danger of them kind of trying to recreate these sexual interactions in their own lives without it being safe, without it being empowering, without it being pleasurable.
And Deborah, I'm asking you as a teenager, what do teenage girls make of the likelihood or their knowledge of teenage boys watching pornography and informing themselves as to sexual behaviour from that pornography?
I think that just because it's so much so the status quo, it's not even something you'd blink an eye at. And whether or not that's a good thing or a bad thing is obviously down to your own personal opinion. But I mean, personally, if someone told me that a boy in my class or one of my guy friends was watching porn, I would be like, okay. And because it's just so normalized, like I said, we are the social media generation, and it just kind of seems that it's something that so many people do. Why would you even blink an eye at it just because it's so normalized?
And just if I can come in on that, like, I don't think we need to shame young people for watching pornography. Like, there's a natural curiosity there, but I think the problem is when they're not viewing it with a critical lens, they're not viewing it in terms of this is a fantasy that is being recreated by actors who have sorted out consent beforehand, but they're viewing it as education. They're viewing it as this is how sex is acted and this is how I learn. That's where the problem lies. So it's not only about sex education, it's also about teaching young people to be critically aware of pornography and able to consume it as an ethical and critical thinker.
So Michael, what's the finding of your report?
Well, I think for us, what we're taking from it is the need to have the broader conversation and create a space for that. So I think we would hope that certainly youth workers can do that. We shouldn't be, I suppose, too hard on teachers or parents. I mean, people have been passing the book, I suppose, for many, many years, but I think that time has passed now, and there was new legislation they're reaching that says, look, you have to have sex education. There's no opting out. But not to see sex education as open page 126 and look at the diagram, to see it as a conversation. I think that's, we like to think that youth workers are stronger on that, that we have conversations all the time. It could be in the context of sport or music, another activity where people will say what's going on in their lives. You can have that conversation. It's not chalk and talk or top down. And that's one of the challenges for schools. But schools have to play their role. Everyone needs to play the role, and everyone needs to understand what it is. But it is in the context of relationships and broader concepts, and not just sex in itself.
Michael McLaughlin, Deborah Fakai and Roe McDermott, thank you all very much for joining us here on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.